Welcome back, everyone, to Shoujo, the anime podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my good friend Joe here to Shoujo anime. I'm the expert, Joe's the newcomer, and we're covering the best Shoujo ever currently, so this is as good as gonna get. It's all downhill from here. But yeah, so we're talking episodes 37 and 38 of The Rose of Versailles. But before we jump into that, let's catch up. What's going on in Joe Town?
I have been engaging with a lot of Star Wars stuff. I listened to the original Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy of books. So that's Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rises, and The Last Command. And I just finished that up, which is like a series of books that were meant to be like a sequel series of like the original, you know, 4, 5, 6 movies. And I had a really good time. I like the characters in the original Star Wars movies. I think they're fun. It's fun to hang out with Luke and Lando and Han and all those guys and Leia. She gets a lightsaber in this one.
That's cool.
So I listened to an audiobook. And they had like all the Star Wars sounds and stuff in it because it's an audiobook. So I have done that, and that was a good time. And because I'm, you know, I did that because I'm following along with a podcast, kind of like how our podcast works. You can follow along with the Rose of Versailles with us. I've also finished season 3 of Star Wars Rebels, the cartoon show.
Okay.
The third season. There's one last season. And then I have watched all of Rebels.
New?
No.
No. No. It's
very
old. I wasn't sure if it was like, let's bring it back for a season 3 way after originally aired or something.
No, it's, what is it from? It's from 2014 to 2018.
Okay. Old as hell.
It's pretty good. You know, I'm liking it pretty well.
Yes.
It's fun.
It's been a while since we talked about it.
Yeah, it's because, you know, I had not been doing anything with it for a while. I'd set it down because I was really in Gundam mode, but now I am coasting on Gundam mode. Even though I'm enjoying Gundam X, I'm just watching it very slowly. Maybe because I'm also watching, like, the podcast I listened to of that one is watching that one and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex season 2 or second gig. And I am not as hot on second gig, and so I am
second gig. That's the season title.
Second gig, yeah, it's their second gig
sounding.
It's good. Everybody loves when they have long names. So that's what I've been up to. Lots of Star Wars. I've been thinking about Star Wars a lot. So if I mentioned Star Wars in this, it's because I was thinking about it.
Okay. Did you
had a really
see
great send-off?
Episode 3 in theaters?
I think
episode 3,
yeah.
For the 20th anniversary?
Yeah. No, not for the 20th anniversary. I thought you meant like in real life.
No,
like
I
when
meant
it first came
it's
out.
In theaters right
I think
now.
I probably did. Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Or at least here in Texas it is.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The 3D animated shows, The Clone Wars and Rebels, are kind of an attempt to rehabilitate the prequel movies.
That makes sense.
And I think they mostly succeed at that. I am like way more interested in the prequel stuff after like watching these shows. That being said, I don't know if I really want to watch the prequel movies again. They're not that good. I mean, I guess Revenge of the Sith is the best one, so that's not a bad one to have to see in theaters. That's out of the three, that would be the one I'd want to see.
Maybe we can cover that someday as a bonus episode. Just talk about
Star Wars.
I feel like I'm just going to fixate on the like alarming relationship between Leia and Anakin.
You mean Padme?
Like a little. Yes, sorry.
She's like
what
old.
Did I say?
You said Leia, his daughter.
Oh, nope. Oopsie. Yep, I meant Padme.
Spoilers for Star Wars episode 3 and I guess 5. All right, that's a 6 thing, isn't it? That's a reveal in 6. Anyway, Star Wars is fun.
I'm not worried.
all of this is because like Andor is coming out, so I'm like trying to finish all of the coverage of Rebels because they finished it out on the podcast I'm listening to, so they can cover Andor as it comes out, Andor season two. And I liked Andor season one, so I want to get to Andor season two. But I got to go in order.
Maybe I'll check it out. I feel like I keep hearing good things about it.
It's like a Andor is like a fascinating show because on one hand, it's just like good prestige TV. And on the other hand, it's like in the Star Wars universe as a prequel to Rogue One, which is a prequel to episode four. So it's also like, I don't know, like a complicated setup, but it's like, it's weird because I can't really think of any other instance where like a long running franchise has like a prestige thing that it does that just kind of worked, that hadn't really worked up to this point. I mean, I guess people liked The Mandalorian, but it's nothing like that. You know what I mean? And I keep trying to think of like another franchise that's like long, like it'd be like if Jurassic Park just suddenly had like a prestige TV show, like an HBO show.
That would be nice. Somebody can finally do it right since 1993, maybe.
Yeah, it's like they could get like a prequel where it's like Hammond like making those things and they're having the corporate espionage is like a big part of it. And like their final, their last ditch effort is to send the guy off in one. You know what I mean? That's how you would do it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just weird that Star Wars gets this. And I'm like, that's weird because Star Wars is usually like, I think the cartoons are good and the movies are good, except for the newer ones. Actually, all the newer ones are bad. I mean, I like The Last Jedi, but Jesus Christ, The Rise of Skywalker is so bad.
That's such a lame name. Oh, I don't know why I'm fixating so much on names, but
it's brutal. It's so bad. Yeah. But yeah, so.
But they got the little penguin looking bird things.
Yeah, they got those little guys. Those little freaks. They're fun. Yeah.
Anything
that's what
else?
I've been doing.
Oh, no. It's just all Star Wars.
I'm just like, let's go. Let's get out there. Let's like I like snort a bunch of Star Wars real quick before I go back to Gundam.
Okay. Oh Lord. Okay. Nice. Nice.
I take it you haven't been doing this as well.
No, I haven't. Let's see. What have I been doing?
You've been betraying
we have a new
me.
Course.
Oh.
I.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Tell me about your new course.
We played like three times.
No,
now.
I want to hear the course.
Do you want to start it?
No. It's okay. Tell me about your course. You don't have to do this.
You could be Lazelle in our playthrough.
People don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Okay. Baldur's Gate. I think I mentioned it a few episodes ago, but I started a playthrough with someone else, even though I had started a playthrough with Joe at one point, and we were like, we're totally going to do it. We even dedicated like half or the end of episode to talk about our playthrough. Although the same thing happened where the children got mad at one of my companions. I didn't get thrown in jail this time, but Mole and her trying to rat us out, like saying we did something to the kids. But the person I was playing with was able to talk their way out of it.
Wow.
But
Baldur's Gate 3. Sounds like a fun game. I hope to play it one day.
Joe, we can't. We could.
I guess I'll never know if you get mind flay or whatever happens in that game.
No.
I assume you just die. I don't even think Baldur's Gate is in the game. As far as I know, it's just a thing people talk about.
Joe. Oh, no. We'll
anyway,
get there.
There's a new course out?
Oh, God. Yeah. It's called Raptor it's called Raptor Clips.
Oh.
It's dinosaurs.
Oh.
And it's cute. So I'm excited for that. I'm doing trivia on Wednesday. And I'm going to be dressed as Dr. Alan Grant, even though it's not a Jurassic Park course. It's dinosaurs, and that's what I've got.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'll be fun. And let's see. I went on a second date with someone yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That was good. Yeah. It's been a while since I've like actually tried to like actually go out and do something with someone. I've just been like inactive in that regard for
that was
some
winter
time.
So that makes sense. You don't have to do things in winter. You get like a pass.
That's like the time I can do it though.
Oh.
God, I went to this like, I don't know, like foundation day festival thing for Dripping Springs, which is just like a little tiny, almost like a rodeo where it's all the like crappy rides that like could kill you.
Yeah. Those are great.
And then a lot of barbecue.
Yeah. And like
leather purses for sale and stuff. Uh-huh. So
that's
good. It was so hot. And we're not even there yet. The high was like 87. It's so hot already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make it.
Just make all of your activities like swimming activities or something. You're like submerged.
Well, it makes it even easier to get sunburned because then the sun reflection bounces off the water your face.
Not if you stay under that water. Just get really into diving.
I scuba certified.
Oh, well, there you go. Just do that every day.
I don't have a buddy to go with. I can't go alone or I'll die. Well,
hey, you know, maybe this is your chance. This is how you can meet the one.
The one. But the I'm one. Not that. I haven't scuba dived in probably 5 years. And
well, this is perfect.
I would be a bad buddy for someone else.
You could show up and be like, oh, if only a strong, handsome man would show me how to scuba dive. I haven't done it in 5 lonely years. You like reach around and like adjust your goggles really affectionately or something. I don't know how you make that sexy, but it's probably possible.
Cricket, what are you doing? Don't chew on that pencil. Yeah.
this could happen. You can manifest this.
I don't know about that. I've been playing more Stardew. And yeah, let's see. I think I might for real. Like, Joe, I'll just move to Columbus in September or something. How does that sound?
Yeah, do it. You can show up right when it gets cold.
I think I actually can now.
Oh.
So maybe I should come back and visit and scout
you should.
The cheap places that you're too good to live in.
I live in like the most expensive place you could ever possibly live in.
You live in the most expensive.
All of my friends constantly tell me this.
I want to live by that cute little bookstore, but that's like quaintest part of town.
Yeah,
so
that's going to be tough.
That's expensive. Yeah.
Those are like $1 million houses.
Damn. I don't think that's in the budget.
There's other places, though. Yeah, there's plenty of places.
See? That'd be fun, right?
That would be fun. Yeah, no, that'd be good.
We could start recording in person.
Yeah.
Well, again.
And then we won't accidentally interrupt each other. We would still record over Discord. I don't know why we're saying this. Even if we lived in the same place, we probably would still do it online.
No, yeah. Well, there's like a fancy... I feel like there should be a company that has like audio booths that you can just rent out like you do.
There might be.
At
like recording studios?
What's that place? Yeah, that sounds so official, though.
It probably
like the
is.
The audio version of WeWork or something, you know, where you just show up for a few hours and then you're
there
out
might
there.
Be. I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, you know,
step
we should probably
audio game.
Like make any amount of money to start doing that would be good. But, you
okay,
know,
people,
it could be in the cards.
You
That's
heard
right.
the man.
Yeah.
I think technically in our link tree, I feel like I have a donation set up somewhere. I don't know where that is.
Oh, okay. Well, first
I've
heard about
better,
it.
Better visibility.
Just doing like a racketeering scheme over
utilized.
Here. We're just going to use it to do a bunch of what is it? Money laundering. That's what we're going to use it for.
No, that's not
How come your taxes
true.
Say you have $100,000 in donations to your podcast, Joe? Oh, don't worry about it. We're really popular.
No.
We're going to have to really... increase that listener base, you know. I don't want to spoil the analytics, but The Rose of Versailles is not the most popular show of all time.
Dang. No.
But we gotta
okay,
make it.
We
no,
just,
this is what it is.
We gotta dress up super crazy, and then people ask us, what are you? And then we say, we're the hosts of Shoujo at a convention or something.
Oh, see, I feel like we gotta just cover other popular thing. No. I think we're good. I think we need to cover every popular thing that has like a fandom that exists. And then we all point them to this show and being like, you know, it was so much better when
Joe and Sarah talked about it.
When Rose of Versailles did this thing, y'all should watch this show from 1979.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, We'll see. Maybe we're having a shoujo renaissance. I just saw they announced a sequel series to a manga that I was collecting probably in like 2007. So Beauty Pop is having a sequel come out. So maybe we're start. And I think there's a new shoujo that I feel like is good that I've heard. Something. Anyways, so maybe this will be a good second half of the year for shoujo.
Yeah. Well, hey, if there is, that's good, because that means we got in early enough to be in it, you know?
That's right. We're established, kind of.
Uh-huh. We sure have been doing it. We got experience now, you know?
Uh-huh. What have we learned just up to this point?
We've learned so much. We end every episode with what we learned. We've learned so many things. We just make like a big montage of everything we've ever learned.
We learn things at the end of every episode.
Lots about how to like not assassinate people from Sanjust. We learned several things about that. Uh-huh. I don't remember. What did we learn from Skip? We learned some stuff from Skip Beat, probably. Probably some fashion tips.
Don't be romantically interested in a 16-year-old.
Yeah, that's 20. True. Mm-hmm. I stand by that one.
That's a big takeaway.
It's a big takeaway.
Well, I guess we could get into the Rose of Versailles.
Get into the show.
And see what we're going to learn from the second to last episode of our coverage of the show.
That's right. The penultimate episode of coverage, which is we covered two episodes. Mm-hmm. And you may be saying, oh, this will probably be a short podcast episode. I don't know. A lot of things happen in these two episodes.
That's crazy.
So let's get into it. The Rose of Versailles, episode 37, is called On the Night of Their Passionate Vows.
That says it all, honestly. You don't even need to watch the episode.
That's the summary. There are some passionate vows and nothing else happens at all. Don't worry about it.
Oh, goodness.
All right. We open on Andre recapping the events of last episode in his journal. Things have gotten bad and it seems like the revolution is here. Andre rushes to watch the final moments of this era. He's like, I'm going to watch it with my good eye. I'm definitely going to make it all the way to the end, he says, as the OP plays. We return on Oscar visiting the doctor late at night. He diagnoses her with consumption, a.k.a. tuberculosis. Good job, Sarah. Called it.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Everybody dies of that lung disease, getting consumed. Oscar is like, how long do I have, doctor? And the doctor insists that if she takes it easy, maybe like out in the countryside. Don't you guys own a villa by the sea or something? You should go there. She could recover. It's possible, he insists. But Oscar's like, no, if I'm going to die, I'm going out the way I want to. And the doctor tells her that she has maybe 3 months to live. Oscar goes to leave.
Big news.
Yeah. That means we're not going to get, she's not going to live to Marie getting her head cut off, because that's in 3 years.
That's a bummer.
I know.
Dang. Well, I guess she'd probably rather it be that way, but.
Maybe. I mean, she could, you know, this is just a diagnosis. Anything could happen. Mm. Maybe she goes to the countryside and just chills. Is that what happens this episode? Who knows?
I don't think so. No.
Oscar goes to leave, but the doctor asks her how Andre is. And Oscar's like, Andre, what's wrong with him? And the doctor's like, oh, this is a HIPAA violation. If HIPAA was around back then.
Oh, patient information.
Yeah, the doctor tells her that he is going blind. I mean, Andre is going blind. The doctor's fine. We learned that in the city, bakers are selling weapons instead of bread. So that's how it's going in Paris.
Yeah, where'd they get that? People still need bread. God.
Yeah,
surely
I don't know.
It's more expensive to acquire weapons than bread.
Probably. Well, you know, who knows? Bread goes bad. You know, bread is temporary. Weapons are forever, I guess.
Not if you toast it, then it's like it was going to be crunchy anyways.
That's true.
It's not as noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oscar gets ready to go to work, and Granny reminds her that the painter is supposed to come by and finish the painting today, and then she heads out. At the barracks, the men discuss how Company A was dispatched and prepped for battle against the rioters. They're like, dang, I sure hope that doesn't happen to us. Who knows what we would do in that situation? Oscar arrives at the barracks, and everything is quiet. Her Lieutenant Colonel D'Auguste tells her that Company A was dispatched. but no fighting has broken out. Oscar asks if he thinks Company B will be dispatched, and August says probably. Give me 1 second. Sorry if my audio was weird. I, like, closed my doors, and that created a weird echo. So if I sounded weird for the last 23 minutes, don't worry about it.
It's normal for there to be some kind of audio hiccup here.
We've only been doing this for a year.
Keeping on brand.
Surely I would remember to open the doors. Let's see. Before leaving, Dougust turns and says, "Hey, Commander, you look pale and worn out. Maybe you should take some sick leave." And Oscar's like, "Nah, man, I'm fine. I'm definitely not dying." But the lieutenant, or the colonel, says that his wife died last year of consumption, so he knows what the symptoms look like. He's known Oscar's been sick with this for a while. He could have diagnosed her. He tears up, and Oscar thanks him and decides that she is going to go home for the day. Why not take a break?
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was a really sweet moment.
Yeah, poor
guy.
We haven't really
seen that guy much, but he gets two nice moments in this episode.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's the only one who didn't give her a hard time when she came on board.
That's true.
Because I guess he's a fellow noble, so.
He is also a noble, yeah. He's like old. He's like an old man. He's got a mustache. Like white hair.
Typical noble.
Oscar summons Andre, whose vision is failing rapidly. He comes into her office and gives his report to an empty chair because he can't see that Oscar isn't there in the office, and instead she's standing in his blind spot. He soon realizes that she's not there, and then leaves, and Oscar is left to mourn for Andre's eyes. She's like, he really is going blind. He just talked to this chair for like a whole minute.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Pretty bad. She meets him outside and apologizes for not being in her office. She tells him to accompany her home, and he's like, but aren't we on standby? But then she takes his hand and says that she needs an escort and she wants it to be him.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Ooh, being direct now.
Mm-hmm.
In the streets, crowds are gathering. The pirate man says, see the tri-colored flag. That's the flag of freedom. And the crowd starts to break into storehouses and manors all over Paris.
He must be like a local celebrity. Someone helps him walk too.
Yeah.
I bet everyone's like, oh, we love Uncle Pirate.
That's true.
He's the best.
he just pumps out the tunes, you know? Back at the Jarges, Oscar is getting her painting finished. The only thing left to paint is her stunning blue eyes. The painting is finished, and we get a look at the full thing. It's an enormous painting of Oscar on a horse dressed as Mars, the god of war. General Jarges and Granny look at it, while Andre, who's unable to see anything at the moment, waits by the door.
That's a good portrait.
It's a big portrait. That thing was way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Well, the bigger, the better, I guess.
That's true. You want it to be big. Later, Andre stares at the painting, trying to make it out, while Oscar behind him drinks wine. Andre starts describing what he thinks he sees, but it's all wrong. Oscar tears up, knowing that Andre will never be able to see the painting as it truly is. But Andre continues to describe a painting that he sees in his mind of Oscar in a rose field wearing a laurel wreath. We get a shot of Andre's imaginary painting, and Oscar says that it's fantastic. She's like, thank you for imagining this painting.
So embarrassing.
This is sweet. You think it's embarrassing?
No. I'm so embarrassed for Andre.
Which painting did you like more? Did you like Andre's imaginary painting?
No.
Where like Oscar is not the deliverer of death?
I know, but that one had a much better composition. This one was just like random things hanging out on a painting together, but
that's
not
true.
Like in an interesting way.
Yeah, I do like that Andre imagines Oscar as being gentler than the god of war.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the image Oscar probably wants to be remembered as, her legacy.
Which one?
Is the god of war one.
Oh, you think so?
So she's kind of like, the whole vibe is what she's been, you know, trying to give off to people, so.
Maybe. I'll have more to say about that. Later.
Okay.
Alon and some men come ride to the Jarges and tell Oscar that tomorrow Company B is ordered to be dispatched to Paris. Oscar's like, oh, they finally done it, I guess. And Alon says, yep, they sure have. Oscar says she'll return to the barracks in a little while, so don't wait up. And they leave. In the stables, Andre prepares his horse, or the both of their horses. And then he sees someone's behind him, but can't make out who it is. At first, he thinks it's Oscar, but then it's revealed that it's actually General Jarjay's. The general tells Andre that it seems like some battle will break out soon, and it might be the last time they ever see each other. Because listen, man, you're blind, and you're definitely going to die in the next battle. I have no faith that you're going to live through this, Andre. I'm sorry. The general says
against him.
Yeah, but then the general says that if Andre had been a noble, he would have given his wholehearted blessing to marry Oscar. Oscar walks up and sees the general tell Andre to come back safe. So that's sweet. Closure.
Yeah, who's going to take care of your horses if he's gone?
It's true.
Yeah. Dad's Oscar and Andre probably toast too. Nobody's making it out of this.
That's, you know, good bet. Oscar and Andre ride out. On the road, they run into some rioters who see them and turn to attack them. Oscar and Andre escape by riding their horses across a nearby river. The rioters throw things at them as they wade across, and Andre is struck in the head, knocking him out. Oscar pulls them all to the other side, and they get away. We cut to rioters in the forest declaring that they've had it. Even if it means death, they're gonna take the city. Oscar sees this and decides that they're gonna go a different way into Paris. We're not gonna go this way.
Mm-hmm.
They ride off through the woods, and Oscar scolds Andre for not telling her about his eye. She says that he'll have to go back to the manor. He can't go into battle in his condition. So please do this, Andre. I can't let anything happen to you, she says. But Andre says no. He wants to be by her side, now and forever. Oscar lowers her eyes and says, but Andre, I knew how you felt about me, but I fell in love with Fersen anyway. How could you really love me after that? And Andre says that he loves everything about her. Oscar says she loves him too, and Andre says he's known that since the beginning. And then the two of them kiss.
Because she says, like, I don't know, like, I've loved you since before I was born or something. And he's like, I know that. I was like, this is weird. Okay, but crazy stuff going down here.
Among the fireflies, the two of them make love, thus becoming husband and wife.
I don't think that is how it works legally, but
oh yeah, I'm sorry, they have to ask the king for permission for nobles to get married. They should get on that.
That's
I
not
guess.
Gonna stop them.
Later that night, Later that night, General Jarjay looks at the portrait of Oscar. He comments that he didn't get a chance to say bye to her after she left. But like, whatever. Like, she's not going to die in combat the way Andre is. It'll be fine. Granny shows up with a letter from Oscar. He tells her to read it to him, and she's shocked by the contents. Only a single sentence saying, quote, thank you for all the love and devotion you have bestowed on a daughter like me, unquote. The general is like, what is she saying? This sounds like a goodbye. No, I won't allow it. I won't. And then we cut away. So I guess that's the end of that.
Yeah.
They've eloped just like they said they would.
Daughter, an afterthought. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
I should say bye to her, too.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I forgot to say goodbye to Oscar. I mean, like, she's not going to die. She's the god of war, so it's fine. We see Oscar and Andre riding off to the barracks as we cut to credits.
Bow chicka wow wow.
Yeah, you know, this is a pretty normal episode.
It
I don't
all
think anything
happened in one episode.
We got it. Yay! We weren't sure if we were gonna get closure or addressment of their
did.
Relationship. And we did. Yay!
Yeah.
How do we feel about it?
I hate that they're now calling I hate that she's now referring to herself as his wife. A
Why
lot
not?
More to say.
That's fun.
No, it's not. That's not who she is. She's
well, she
Oscar.
Does it. She does it like an extremely goofy way next episode, and everyone's like, listen, you don't need to keep doing
we
this.
We will talk about it.
Very
yes.
funny.
Ugh. Like, duh. Whatever.
Okay.
At least they both got to get it on before
That's right.
it's all done.
Yeah. So I guess, like, jumping back to the beginning, we're confirming that she's going to die. Basically, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that Andre is going to go blind and he's going into battle, so he's probably also going to die.
Yeah. So look, just neither one will have to live without the other.
Yeah, so we know that they're both going to die here. Yep. Which, like, is interesting.
Because they're fictional. Why? Bummer ass end to show?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have a little bit more to say. I can have like an overall thing to say at the end there. But it's interesting that they like kind of tell us this, right? It's not like there's no real question if Oscar's going to make it out. I mean, I guess she still technically could, but they wouldn't do this if she would, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it's interesting that they signpost that so early on in this episode. Then we have, they're going to get dispatched. August is like being sad that that Oscar's going to die. Let's see. The painting. I like Andre's version better. I think Andre understands Oscar better. I feel like Oscar being the god of war is how everybody wanted to see her and not necessarily how she wanted everybody to see her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People project on Oscar a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's all. Well, she didn't allow people to really know anything else, so they can't but help, like, you know, envision that as her.
Also, her reaction was kind of muted to it.
What, to her, the painting she got?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think she just got the painting, which she had been refusing up to this point, because she knows she's going to die?
That's true.
No, I like the painters better.
Yeah. I do like,
he's like, if you don't want it, I'll take it home.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
The painting, yeah.
I do like how in Andre's imaginary painting, the horse is still there, but Oscar just isn't riding it. It's like Oscar, yeah. And then in the background is the horse, and then there's a bunch of roses. It's very funny.
Yeah, no. Because I took art history, but I'm like, no, it doesn't work.
That doesn't follow the golden ratio at all. I can't draw that little that little curl on that. thing.
Yep. And
then they get together.
Yeah. I mean, we get like Oscar's hair conveniently gets extra long so it can hide her butt when they're showing them embracing.
That's right.
Nude.
It's important. Yes, censorship.
So we don't see anything. And then the like fancy, our heads are just, you know, in the ether next to each other with their long eyelashes closed and.
Yeah, similar to how we got with Ferguson and Marie previously.
Oh, that's true. Well, I don't think we got as clear of a oh, they definitely went for it.
Yeah, all that's the way, true. But not definitely go for it all the way.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. Well, they're both like almost 40.
I guess. Yeah, they're like late 30s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. How do we feel about the part, I really like the scene where the general like gives Andre his blessing kind of in a way, or like it's like basically saying he would have, because that is the most like, oh, like if we didn't have this social structure, y'all could have just gotten together whenever. But because we live in a world with nobles and commoners, we just had to pretend like none of this was happening for forever. And that's interesting. And then like when they do the confession thing on Oscar is all like, I don't know, ashamed, embarrassed that she was in love with Ferguson, even though she knew that Andre loved her.
Yeah. Well, because now it's like she's changed her mind.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or she doesn't think he'd believe her, maybe. But I mean, we only found out like a couple episodes ago, so she's probably still processing it. You think she was going to put the moves on him no matter what, or it was just because
had to? I think it's because she's dying.
Well, yes.
I think it's because they're both, the end is near for both of them in terms of they're both dying, and also the end is near in terms of like tomorrow.
They know it.
Yeah, they're going to have bad days ahead, even if they weren't dying. You know what I mean? It's like they. This is the, I mean,
they're dying or they will die from combat. So
Yeah. So
let's do it.
Yeah. We'll have a whole thing at the end of this. Episode 38 of The Rose of Versailles is called At Fate's Door. We open on a recap of the last episode where Oscar and Andre got together and now they're riding off to the barracks. The narrator tells us that this is the morning of July 13th, 1789, and it will be Andre's final day.
Oh, he's dying.
Once again, just telling you what's going to happen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. I love it when shows do this.
Yeah.
Oscar and Andre show up at the barracks. She tells the men that their orders are to deploy, which is awkward because, like, you know, we're going to be fighting the crowd and you guys probably have family and friends in the crowd. So obviously I'm not going to, like, order you to shoot them because if I did, you probably wouldn't anyway. Anyway, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to resign my command and follow my husband's lead. Oh, right. I'm married to Andre now. I guess this is big news. Whatever. Anyway, Andre, my husband, what do you want to do? And Alon is like, Alon just laughs and is like, all right, Oscar, you don't need to quit. Listen, the guys have been talking. We decided to defect immediately. So if shooting breaks out, we're going to like join the side of the people. And like, we all want you in charge if that happens. So like, if you're on board, that's great. You could just be our commander still. And Andre is like, that's great. We should do that. And Oscar retakes command and everybody does like a captain, my captain bit. And Alon congratulates them on their marriage.
This is what I hate, that I'm going to follow my husband's lead. Let me now just immediately take on a like subservient role.
The gender essentialism is here. I mean, the thing I do like is that this is something that Oscar feels like she needs to do, but then everybody's like, no, you don't need to do that. None of us think that's a good idea, including Andre, who thinks it's a bad idea.
God, I just hate. Oh, we're husband and wife.
Well,
I don't like it.
Oscar, for as rebellious Oscar is, she does always kind of give deference to like higher structural orders and things like that. Until somebody like gives her permission not to. You know what I mean? Like, she is not the person who is going to break etiquette unless there's a reason, and then she will like accept the punishment for it. You know what I mean? And that feels like what's happening here. It's like, well, she can't just be the wife and decide to do something. She has to get like permission, even though everybody's like, that's stupid. You don't need to do that. None of us like it when you do that.
Yeah. Continue.
We then all turn our attention to General D'August, who's just watching this from the doorway. He's a noble and isn't going to defect like the rest of them. And Oscar's like, so what are you going to do? And Dagus says that, well, I guess he technically is going to have to report this mutiny to command. But, you know, I was planning on taking the rest of the day off. So I guess I'll just have to report the mutiny tomorrow. And then he leaves. And Alon is like, thanks, Dagus. You're a real homie. And he leaves. So that's cute. I like Dagus. He's not selling his friends out. Not joining them, but not selling them out.
I wonder if he has kids.
I don't know. I mean, he's alone, right? Like,
I was going to say, if he has kids, then I guess it makes sense that he has to stand his ground and protect the legacy for their future if things don't go the rebels' way. But if it's just him solo and his wife was toast, then I would have just gone for it. But I guess.
Maybe. Maybe he should just like get out of town. Maybe he should go to Oscar's villa by the sea.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, you got the key? I'll just go take care of it for you. The men arm themselves and mount up, and they all ride into the city. In Paris, the military and civilians are at a standoff in Tuileries Square. Both sides are pointing guns at each other. The military commander is like, where the hell did all these guys get guns from? They didn't have these guns yesterday. What happened? A civilian steps forward to mock the military, but his wife and child come and pull him back. But then a soldier accidentally fires and hits the kid in the back, and everybody, including the soldier, looks on horrified.
It's very much giving when that kid got shot by the jerk she dueled.
Yeah, Duke Amina. Yeah, that was very intentional. This seems like a...
in the back.
You know, when you have hundreds of people pointing guns at each other, one of them will screw up at some point.
Yes. Yep. Oopsie.
Oops. Oops. I shot a child in the back. The crowd surrounds the dying child, and the civilians decide to rush the soldiers. The soldiers open fire on the people, killing a lot of them. The two lines clash into each other, and the narrator tells us that this is the start of the French Revolution, even though this is kind of like a day earlier than most people regard that. But, you know, here we are. Oscar gets word of the skirmish in the square, and they rush to help. Back at the square, the narrator tells us that despite their numbers, the people had no formal training and were essentially mowed down because they were not getting into military formation. We see Bernard and Rosalie lead people away from the square into the side streets to retreat. Company B meets the retreating people in the streets and tells them that they're on their side. The crowd is skeptical but lets them pass through. Oscar makes it to the square, and the military officer in charge introduces himself as Lambesque, commander of the German cavalry regiment. So these guys are not French. Oscar introduces.
Okay, but the French. Okay. Oh, never mind. Hold on. There's like an insane number of factions of the French armed forces that are. It's like so many different uniform colors and so this is very confusing.
Yeah. This is why I was saying, like, pulling your military in gets messy, especially if none of these guys, you really know what their loyalties are. I mean, these guys are, like, probably mercenaries. I don't know.
A fancy name.
Fancy name. Oscar introduces herself as Oscar François.
That's like her middle name.
Is that her? That's her middle name? I don't know. Because, like, this is not her last name, and it's not Andre's last name.
No. Wait, maybe this is her last name, but Jarges is the title of the family.
Oh, okay. Because I couldn't tell what name this was. Because I'm like, did she take Andre's name? But Andre's last name isn't this.
No, we've seen it before.
It's like grandeur or something.
We've seen this name before. Yeah.
Yep. But then she says she has no title and no rank. And Lambesque is like, excuse me? But Oscar raises her hand and her men point guns at the German cavalry. She tells Lambesque to pull back or be shot, and Lambesque is like, oh shit, you guys are defecting? And then he pulls all his men back.
Yep.
Oscar takes her military insignia and throws it on the ground. The people come back to the square and ask Oscar if she's on their side. She says yes, but they still don't trust them. Oscar disarms and dismounts and walks into the crowd. She said that she used to be a noble, but her men are all commoners. They have convinced her to fight for the Third Estate. You may not trust her, but you can trust them. Bernard pushes through the crowd to Oscar and declares that he will trust Oscar and Company B. The crowd recognizes Bernard and they're like, oh shit, it's that one guy. And they all decide to trust them too. Everybody shakes hands and has a good time. Bernard tells Andre that he knew this day would come and they shake hands too. Meanwhile, Rosalie goes and hugs Oscar because she's here too. Woohoo! Reunion!
She does have a sword! Why not?
I don't know. Rosalie is not armed. She should be. She has the most training.
So disappointing.
Ugh. It's bad. They taught her how to shoot.
Yeah.
She needs to shoot a guy by the end of this.
She has to have her moment in the next two episodes. My God.
Yeah. No, she definitely does. We need to get a scene of Rosalie shooting a guy. Or it was all for nothing.
Yes. For real.
Elsewhere, another military company is on their way to retake the square. Oscar orders her men to mount up and cut them off. She tells Bernard to build a barricade in the streets while they all stall them. And Bernard's like, a barricade? And Oscar's like, yeah, just like pile a bunch of shit up. You know, it's the French Revolution, dude. We're making a barricade. Company B rides off.
I guess you just had to think that people just didn't have the resources to know these things. We just know them because we learned about them in like history or video games and stuff. But like, I guess it's just not a concept.
That's true.
You know, people with a very determined role without any like room for exploration. Because it seems obvious, but you know.
Yeah.
At some point, like, it wasn't obvious.
You know, I think in real life, probably what happened was all of the retired soldiers are like, you got to build a barricade. Like, you got to just stack a bunch of shit up. Anyway, sorry. Oscar sees the military company and they charge into their rear. I guess I should note that Company B is entirely mounted. It's about 50 mounted soldiers, and the guys they're charging into are all on foot. The company is caught off guard, and Company B is able to charge them. During the fight, Andre's eye loses sight, and he is narrowly saved by Alon. He almost dies right here. After a few chaotic moments, Oscar orders a withdrawal and her men right off. So, classic shock and awe tactic, right? Hit him and run off. However, word has gotten round of Company B's defection, and another cavalry guard is waiting to ambush them. The narrator tells us that by 3 p.m., multiple clashes between the military and armed civilians have broken out all over Paris, creating chaos. Remember that thing I said about 10 riots instead of one?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Company B turns a corner and rides directly into the ambush. Oscar turns the company around, but they suffer heavy losses. On the retreat, they run into another ambush line, and Oscar realizes that they've been hemmed in. Lazare tries to do a last stand charge, but is shot down, so rip to him. Company B retreats. Yeah, he tried.
His freckles were so cute.
Company B retreats into the sewers. We learned that about half of their 50-man company has been wiped out. Oscar tells them that their only hope is to regroup with Bernard at the square. They'll have to fight their way through to get there, though, because they're behind enemy lines. We're doing like classic war movie stuff here. Oscar and her company emerge from the sewers and are surprised by a guard stationed at the entrance. The guard exchanges fire with Oscar, but she's able to shoot him down. However, we see that the bullet that the guard fired has hit Andre in the chest, a couple people behind her, and he falls while calling out to Oscar. Oscar rushes to him as we cut to credits.
Well, there it is.
Final day. Andre's final day.
It's going to kill all. Yeah. 50 is such a small group of people to begin with. And now they're just 25.
Yeah. I mean, for a company like that are all though. Horse, like they're all mounted.
Well, they're just for mostly patrolling the city. So I guess in that regards, it makes sense. But like deploying them doesn't seem too effective on their own if it was in a situation like this. The news travels freaking fast.
News travels fast.
No telephones or anything.
True. I mean, it was a whole day, right? Like, they got there in the morning. It looked like this happened in the evening. So, like, you know, they had several hours to relay.
Yeah, that's true.
Orders around. But yeah, chaos broke out.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar defects and is immediately like, let's just kill all these guys. Let's just shoot our own guys
know.
In the army. Like, fucking let's go.
She's been trigger shy up to this point, but no more.
Gloves off. Let's go.
We're going for it. Yeah.
Doesn't shoot the cavalry, though. That first cavalry group that shot all those people.
Yeah.
Some go. I guess that would have been disgraceful to just hit them.
That's too. No, because then they like kind of ambushed. So I don't know.
It's true. Anyway, what do you think about this episode? The war episode. Wartime, baby.
We only had two episodes after this.
I know.
This whole show is just leading up to it more than anything else. But everything is happening all at once.
I didn't think it'd go this way. I didn't think they'd get wiped out before, the thing that happens next.
I mean, if you think about it, like, until Oscar and throughout Oscar's time there, they, like, were just there to collect a check. Like, I don't think they're necessarily fully invested in training and stuff at the time. So, or this is their first real skirmish.
I think they did. Like, they were effective, right? Because they didn't know. They have no, like, intel. So they can't know if they're about to turn a corner into a whole line of guns. So I think they're, like, effective. I'm just saying I didn't think this is how the show would go. I didn't think Oscar would just, like, immediately be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the jump. I mean, the revolution has started, I guess.
We have no time.
She's going out
dying.
Day one. Yeah.
Andre's dying, and we have two more episodes after this. She's got to get into it.
It's true.
Yeah. God.
Do you have any bigger thoughts?
This is just very, like, you got to take it as it is. There's not much room for interpretation at this point. I can say what I hope comes next, but
what is there to hope that comes next? What is there?
I don't know. Rosalie gets to shoot somebody.
Do we think
that's my only hope?
That's good. Do you think Oscar's gonna go like sicko mode, like punish Oscar? She's gonna be like taking dudes out because Andre's dying. She's gonna go like rage mode. She's gonna go beast mode.
I don't know, because that's the one option. I don't know what the other option. I guess that is the option.
That would be so out of character.
She's dying anyways, and he dies, so there's no point in even trying to live longer unless it's really like, I got to do this for the people. Then she, like, you know, does what she can until it's resolved, and then, I don't know, wastes away or something.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. This is not going to be a happy ending.
No.
The only good thing is going to be that we get to see the end of Queen Marie Antoinette.
You think they're you think the lassie is her getting her head cut off?
You think they're gonna I don't know if they're gonna show
almost
it to
certainly.
Us. I feel
they
like
gotta.
It'll just go.
I feel like if any show was gonna,
she'll be there, and then we pan off screen, and then we see the birds fly from the sounds of the you know, guillotine, and the narrator talks. Do you think we get to find out who the narrator is, like the identity, or that's just like,
oh, I don't think so. I think it's just like a device
talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
I bet it'll be guillotine comes down and we get like a match cut to somebody like pruning a rose or something, and it like falls. And
oh, that's a good bang. Yeah, we love our roses
over
here.
She's gotta die. We gotta see the execution. There's no way we don't get that.
Well, Who are we like ending the series on as like giving us a parting from the show?
I mean, it has to be left. It has to be Marie, right? Like, she's probably thinking of Oscar at the
Rosalie?
End. I bet. Huh?
Oh, I see.
I bet she thinks
saying.
Of
yeah.
Oscar at the end,
the
and then she gets
literal
her head cut
end.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good ending.
That's my called shot there. I like well, how
what,
this is going.
What? Duke Orleans.
Doesn't matter.
Just nothing.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Oh my god.
The part
he was such
a couple episodes
beginning.
Ago where like they're like, oh, Robespierre, Duke Orleans going to the palace to petition to become the new king. Robespierre's just like, well, that's stupid. It isn't gonna work. Who cares? And that's the last we ever hear of him.
Maybe he died.
Maybe. Oh, it's so funny.
I mean, once we have the ending, we can like think on the show as a whole. It's been really good. Although there are like certain things where it's like, oh, it feels like we like built this thing up and then anticlimactic, or like it wasn't seen through to the end. I mean, in particular, I think of Rosalie with her whole thing with her mom and.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was anticlimactic.
The fall from grace. Well, we didn't get to see. Basically, she goes and lives with her mom and then somehow. Yeah.
I mean, that feels like a plot device to get her away from Oscar. You know what I mean? Like, that just seems like we got to separate everybody. It would have been nice to see that, though. I wish we got more time with Rosalie.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it's how many arcs have we had in this? Trying
oh
to
my God.
Of, like, there's the
beginning.
You know,
Marie
there's
almost
the
gets,
Madame.
We get Madame Dewberry.
Like,
we get like. So it's initially Duke Orleans doing that stuff, trying to disrupt the wedding.
Yes.
And then we get Dewberry. And then we get.
Shane, Jen.
Yeah, we get Jean and Rosalie
Jean.
Kind of happening at the same time. And then we get, what's her face? Charlotte's mom. Pontiac.
What's her name again? Pontiac, yeah.
Yeah, we get her. That kind of all happens at the same time. And then Fersen shows up like a billion times throughout this.
Yeah,
and
lots of time skips.
All of those four things kind of happen all at the same time, and they call intersected. Like, that's probably like the most fun part of the show.
Yeah.
Yep. And
then it's just been leaving.
And then Charlotte dies. Pontiac gets kind of written off. She kind of fades. Fersen shows back up, and that causes drama. And then it's Robespierre and Bernard and the Black Knight, and now we're here.
Yeah. So it's. A lot of different things have happened.
What?
I mean, it's a lifetime basically that we're seeing, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is just a very different setup than most animes I've seen. Where it's like we're on a journey for a specific thing, and maybe like that thing becomes more complicated, but still based off that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just so many things.
Yeah. I like how it's turned out, though, because I mean, I feel like the main through line, and I guess I'll probably we'll see how it ends. But I feel like right now, the main thing for me is like we get the story from like essentially three different class perspectives, right? Where it's like we get Oscar, who's like a noble, who's kind of like in between the royal family and the commoners. It's just like a very privileged position, but also has like different things she has to do. You know, when she realizes that things are going bad, her dad tells her to ignore it and just follow orders or whatever, right? We also get Marie's perspective, obviously, is the queen of France. She's like on top of everything, right? Like, doesn't really answer to anybody except for the king, but she kind of manipulates him. So she's kind of top dog. And we see Rosalie, who's like a commoner who like goes through it the most. Most of her life is out of her hands. Various things happen. She's able to like do kind of some stuff in terms of like getting revenge or not getting revenge, getting help from people, all that other stuff. So we kind of see how the system in place, right? Like the nobility system, the title system, the ASEAN regime, all that stuff is like exists, and it makes all three of them just miserable, right? Like the fact that Marie has to be married to King Louis and can't marry Fersen and just like go off somewhere and just like her best life would be marrying Fersen and just like fucking off somewhere, right? And then none of this would have happened, you know?
Yeah.
And like Oscar clearly, like in this episode, it is so like, oh, if Andre wasn't a commoner, like if Andre was a noble, you probably would have just married him early on, and like all of these problems would have been avoided. Like you wouldn't have to deal with the Fersen thing. You know, there would be like.
Well, she also probably wouldn't get involved in the whole revolution thing,
right,
though, because Andre is kind of her little insight into that.
Right, but it's like, if there wasn't the Ascion regime, like, if there wasn't this regime, you wouldn't even need a revolution. The revolution is about getting rid of this thing that just makes everything, like, this system that exists to elevate people in power, but the people in power aren't really even benefiting from, like, they're all miserable too. You know what I mean? Like, Rosalie has a terrible time because she just, like, can't, like, her mother dies. She, like, has to scrap.
Yeah.
And she kind of gets lucky by, like, hooking up with the right people at the right time. But, like, you know, could have easily ended up like how it did for Jean, which is, like, the same thing. Like, you know, they're both kind of in this same sinking ship and they have to do something. So, like, the whole, the cohesion of the show being about, like, leading to the revolution, I think, like, really fits together in terms of, like, yeah, it's the society that you live in that is suffocating you. Like, the structures that require of you, the things that are, like, the conveniences, the culture around it, the, I mean, like, the literal law of, like, oh, nobles can only get married to each other because the king lets them, is, like, the suffocating thing that is destroying everybody. And, like, it has to lead to a new era. And it's both a bummer that, like, Oscar and Andre are not going to live to see that era. But it is heartening to be like, they're going to use their last time on Earth to fight for it, right? A future for someone else so they don't have to deal with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know.
Yeah. Joe, you like, you just came up with all that off the top of the dome.
No, I thought about this earlier.
It's just,
okay, I was thinking about this all,
like,
today.
This is all you. Okay, but like, you're making it. I feel bad. Or you bring such class to this podcast.
Oh no! I mean,
so sophisticated and smart. And
partly, I'm thinking about this because it's like, you know, this stuff happens. We live in a world now where there isn't class structure, and like all of the people in power right now, I guess to date this podcast, all want to restore that. They all want to make these like conservative structure hierarchies again that everybody hated and rebelled from the first time. And like, it also makes them miserable. They all, like, I don't know, it seems like all of them hate their lives too. I'm just like, what is this for? It's like, this system exists, but who is it benefiting and why does it exist? Like, everybody becomes beholden to the thing that, like, guides their life, and they all, like, hate
spite. It's all, the world is fueled by spite.
Yeah,
people who don't like don't want you to do that, so you do
it. But
it
doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I think the nice thing about, like, the French Revolution in this show, and, you know, getting up to the point that, like, we get to in the show, and I think it makes sense that it ends here, because, like, you know, in real life, the revolution starts getting pretty about something else pretty quick, is, like, there's opportunity for a different way to live. You know what I mean? Like, you are not hemmed in by whatever social system that exists. Those things are, you know, constructed, which means they can be deconstructed and turned into something else.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice, we'll see how it ends. I think despite the fact that it's like a tragedy on the face of it, I think it'll end much more optimistic than you might expect based on what happens, like, on the screen. That makes sense. Like, I think the feeling will be optimistic about it.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Excited to see how it all ends.
Yeah.
It's all happening now. It's this is the longest series we've done all at once. Well, no, that's not true. We did this so much faster than we did Kimi ni Todoke.
Yes, we were in that one for a while.
Yeah.
That's because I feel like that was just because, like, season three had, like, hour long episodes, so each one episode was like one episode of the show.
Or maybe this show just felt more compelling, so it didn't feel like it dragged on.
No, there's so much stuff happens in this show. This show is like we were talking about how the many different arcs happen. It's like breakneck speed all the time. Like, we covered two episodes today, and it's like, there's just so much shit to talk about. Like, I think doing three was the good enough pace because there was like enough stuff to get through. Like, there were enough arcs that were like three, like in threes, that it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was it's going to be really hard to compare this show to the other ones just because it's so different, like, genre-wise.
Maybe we need to start making buckets of shoujo of, like,
who can win
so
in a
we
fight?
Only compare this against
which main character is going to win in a fight?
Yeah. I think it's Oscar.
Who's going to have the best outfit to prom?
Unless it's Karada, and then it's Shihaya. But, the best outfit to prom. I feel like it would be Kyoko. She'd be all dolled up for like a celebrity.
We need to Yeah, she could get the real treatment.
Yeah.
We need to do, you know how like in Wreck-It Ralph 2, there's that scene. I haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph 2, but I know there's that scene where like
I don't think I have
all
either.
The Disney princesses are together, like hanging out in like a dorm. Imagine that for all the protagonists of the shows that we've seen so far.
That'd be funny.
Like, do we think they would get along? Yeah. We should just start doing this, like make our own little like world. What's everybody doing in this world?
Shoujo. Yeah, the shoujo realm. Yeah, I think God. Misaki does not fit in with the she's such a nothing person.
Oh dude, Misaki would have so much fun showing like Oscar or Andre the like the little battle dolls and they're like, oh that's cute. That's
true.
Really fun.
You yeah, do all these I think stances. They would have fun with that. Uh-huh.
That would be so good.
Yeah, we need another. We'll eventually get to something where like there's a protagonist that does action like Oscar.
You think like Chizu and Oscar would like do like tussle a little bit? You know, we like to get in little fights.
I feel like Ayane and Oscar could like get together.
Oh, you think so? You don't think Ayane would hang out with Marie?
They're both so glamorous. Oh God. No, because Marie and now freaking what's her face? Kurumi maybe. No, maybe Kurumi and Jen.
Sean are gonna have the worst plan of all time. They're just like school bullies.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I feel like
Ayane and Moko and Marie would hang out. You know, they'd play cards together. They'd all
Moko
set the card.
Would only do it because she would be using Marie for her.
Oh,
own
yeah.
Benefit.
Of course.
For sure. She's too ambitious for friendship.
Oh, do you think Kyoko would get along with Marie because they're both like spiteful?
I don't.
She'd be like, oh, my ex sucks. And Marie would be like, hell yeah, your ex sucks.
No.
Let me tell you about my husband who just makes locks all day. That idiot.
Well, there is the like the little the. Everyone has a chest in their heart stick.
Oh my gosh.
With all the locks.
Maria's like, dude, one time my husband made me one of these. It was terrible. It was enormous and heavy. I'm like, why would I want this? Why would you ever think I, the Queen of France, want this big ass heart shaped lock? Oh my God. This needs to happen. They need to do
fiction.
This. Yeah. You know, they need to just like make a like shoujo verse. Everything's coming together.
Yeah.
They all hang out in the little like the little lobby or whatever.
That's like how on like Toonami and stuff, I feel like they'd have little shorts where they hang that together.
Remember that? Like,
we need like that.
It was Cartoon Network that had like the little city or whatever, and they would be like, oh, Johnny Bravo's here and the Powerpuff Girls are here and all that. They had those like promos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like what if Samurai
like commercials
Jack and...
maybe for like here's what's on now and here's what's coming up kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we need to make that for like all the shows that we watched.
We should for sure. I'll do that for our second year. We're in. God, that sounds like work, but it would be fun. Maybe we just dedicate an episode to a bonus episode or something.
Just like map it out. Oh, that would be so good, yes. Dude. They should let us remake stuff. They should let us.
We make a D&D campaign based
off
the
shoujo. Oh, like a tabletop RPG, and it's like you get to play all these different guys. Oh, that'd be so funny. Uh-huh. Like a one shot. I don't know how to do that, but if I did, I would do that.
Somebody learn.
Oh my God, that's so
yeah.
funny.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, obviously we're having fun, and we will continue to have fun with what we're doing here on shoujo.
Next episode, Oscar dies probably, and also Marie, I guess,
and Andre.
Yeah, everybody and Andre.
Dropping. So, what? I guess what lessons did we learn in this episode?
The lesson that we learned is that you should rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Do it right now. I know you haven't done it. I know you've been thinking about it, and you're like, "Oh, I'll remember to do it." You should do it now. You should put it in there. Also, rate other podcasts. You like. I mean, if you like, just it's an easy thing to forget to do. You should just do it. You know, it's nice. It's nice to give people ratings. It's nice to to spread awareness, to give you, to boost them algorithm points. And that's what we need. We need to appeal to the bots. The bots are taking over and we need some favor from them, and only you can provide it, dear listener. So please do that and leave comments. And also you can email us at shoujopod@gmail.com if you have things to say to us, like what you think everybody in town would be doing in shoujo verse town, in shoujo town.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better pun.
Well, I think Shoujo Verse is a other podcast.
Oh, is that a podcast?
That, but oh, I'm pretty yeah, right, sure Shoujo Verse is a podcast. Yeah.
Shoujo Village. There's got to be some pun we can do off of this. If you can think of a pun, email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Let's
What have we learned? What did we learn here?
I don't know. This is your segment. You really run away with it. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Probably something about tactics. Probably something about, like, maybe plan your route. Oscar should have planned the route. Maybe she did, though. This is the thing I don't know, because I'd be like, oh, Oscar, why didn't you plan your route? But maybe they just got cut off. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I was a little disappointed in Oscar. Like, come on, girl.
Yeah.
You know everything.
They should have just started
to the clutches.
They should have just, well, what? It's hard for me to be critical.
They should have got off the horses and be an espionage. Those horses are, you know, you can't hide that.
Yeah. They should have done the hit and run on that first company, and then they should have gone back to the square. The problem is that they stayed off, right? They got caught out, you know, as they say. Don't get caught out. This is what we learned. Don't get caught out of position. Always stay in position. Always stay near your barricades. You know, you got to send the cavalry out, but then you got to have a secure route back. You know, don't let yourself get too far behind enemy lines. Classic cavalry mistake. Don't do it.
Yep. What Joe said.
Anything better than that?
Don't. Oh, God.
If you're pretending that you're not blind.
If you're blind. Just don't say anything. Just wait to hear if someone says anything. Don't just talk. Because what if someone is listening?
Oh man. Always gosh, check your blind so spot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They never show us what's under. Why can't he have a cool scar eye? Why they gotta hide that from us?
Listen, Lazare, you know? Your last stand charge sounds cool on paper, but it's not gonna get the work done you think it's gonna get done. You should just stay with the group.
It's just a waste. Yep.
You know, it's a cool scene.
Sorry, my guy.
But, you know. Oh, no. Oh, Alon's going to die. No. Alon has to make it. I need Alon to kill a guy with his, like,
I
one
really like
sword
him.
In hand and sheath in other hand. Because that rules. That's the coolest.
Yeah.
That's probably the coolest thing that happens in this show.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ugh. I hope. Well, because his sister and mom are gone. So, like, was he?
He's so cool.
Yeah. Well. He'll be up there in the character rankings when we get this
done. That's
true.
Maybe he gets away with Bernard and Rosalie. You know, it could happen.
Nah, he can't third wheel it.
Damn, too bad Rosalie doesn't have like a sister or something, you know?
Oh, dang.
If only.
Not anymore. Yeah. God. She had two. Now she has none. Freaking brutal. All right, folks.
For the finale.
Yep. Yeah. As we watch episodes 39 and 40, and it all goes down.
It's happening.
In a blaze of glory.
Right.
And we'll catch you guys then. Be on the lookout, Bolo, for our Jurassic Park The Lost World bonus episode.
Yep, I gotta edit it, but then it'll be out. As soon as I edit it.
Yep. No rush, but...
But if it's not out by the finale,
so now you don't have to make it until it comes out after Wednesday. Nope, you're good. I can't fire you. Where am I going to find another Joe who's only watched Show Joe? And
you know.
All right. Okay. Nope. Okay, everyone. Bye.
Bye.